The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
When we talk about believing the finished work of Christ or believing Jesus' promise of everlasting life, what is the difference? What is it that needs to be believed in order to receive eternal salvation? That is our topic next on Grace in Focus. This is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. The Grace Evangelical Society is in North Texas, and you can find out more about us and our national conference by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Now, with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and David Renfro.
Hey, you've got a question there, David.
I sure do. It's from Toby. And he says, hello, it seems to be a popular teaching to believe or trust in the finished work of Christ on the cross of salvation. I hold to the position that we believe in Jesus' promise of everlasting life. Is the former view incorrect? How should I go about talking to people who hold to this position?
Okay, that's a great question.
It is.
Some people go to 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, sometimes they go 1 Corinthians 15, 3 to 11.
Mm-hmm.
That passage talks about the death of Christ, that he died for us, that he was buried, and then he rose again, and that the death and the resurrection are according to the Old Testament scriptures. These were prophesied. Some people say if you believe that, then you're born again. In fact, in a previous show, we talked with some questions from Brittany and Tristan. In fact, Tristan asked about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and do we need to believe that? And what he meant is, do we need to believe that in order to have everlasting life?
Mm-hmm.
The question Toby is asking is slightly different. What Toby is saying is believing that sufficient? In other words, let's say I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, he was buried, and he rose from the dead. Does that mean I'm born again? The answer would be no, and the reason it's no is because it's possible to believe that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again, and yet not believe that by faith in him, I have everlasting life that can't be lost.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, most people in Christianity believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose, right?
Correct.
And yet most people in Christianity believe in some form of work salvation. They've got to persevere to the end of their lives in faith and good works in order to get into the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
What Jesus said, however, is that we must believe in him for what he promises, which is everlasting life. He who believes in me has everlasting life, John 6 and verse 47. Now, Toby is kind of polishing the question a little bit because he said, doesn't he talk about the finished work of Christ?
Yeah, he calls it a popular teaching to believe or trust in the finished work of Christ on the cross for salvation.
Okay, so first of all, we need to recognize that 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 11 is not an evangelistic passage.
No, the context is completely different from that.
1 Corinthians 15 is called the Great Resurrection chapter.
And why is that chapter there?
Well, it's there because there were people in Corinth who believed that the resurrection was already past and that the believers in Corinth weren't going to be raised bodily from the dead. Now, I don't know what they thought. Did they think then we were going to have spiritual bodies in the kingdom but not physical bodies? Which, by the way, is a Greek thought was that—
It's pagan, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a pagan thought that the physical world is evil and the spiritual world is good, and so—
Plato believed that.
Yeah.
Whatever the physical world is, it's not worth anything.
And so we're looking for this spiritual involvement. But what Paul is saying is, in verse 2, he says, you are saved if you hold fast the word which I preach to you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, it's a present tense. You are being saved if you hold fast the word which I preach to you. This isn't Ephesians 2, 8, and 9.
No.
You have been saved, and it's an accomplished event. And by the way, saved in Ephesians 2, 8 goes back to 2, 5. He made you alive. By grace you have been saved.
Mm-hmm.
So salvation in Ephesians 2:8 is clearly being made alive.
And the context proves that. See, that's the thing that gets me is the context.
Exactly.
And in 1 Corinthians 15, well, the whole book of 1 Corinthians is trying to correct doctrinal and practical errors. Wasn't Corinth one of the centers of pagan worship, all kinds of pagan and mystical worship?
In fact, I think to Corinthianize was a particularly bad form of immorality.
Yeah, and it happens today. The Corinthians, those who became believers because of Paul's ministry, at some point imported those pagan beliefs and, quote, Christianized them. I know that doesn't happen today
no.
at all, but I think Paul is trying to, like you said earlier, trying to correct the pagan teaching that there is no such thing as a physical resurrection.
Right.
That's the whole point. And when he lists all those things in the first part of 1 Corinthians, he's saying, this is what I taught you.
Right.
There is a physical resurrection. How in the world did you get away from that? It's almost like that's what 1 Corinthians 15 is all about.
Right. He goes on to say, if there is no resurrection, we are of all men most to be pitied.
Yeah.
And he ends the chapter in verse 58 to say, therefore be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for we know that our labor in the Lord is not in vain.
Right.
In fact, New Testament scholar N.T. Wright, who's not crystal clear on how a person is born again, but he has an excellent discussion of 1 Corinthians 15, and he said the good news of 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 11, is that believers are going to be raised and glorified, and we're going to have glorified permanent bodies. And we're not going to sin anymore. And we're not going to hurt and go through pain and suffering anymore. That's the good news of 1 Corinthians 15. And the salvation in 1 Corinthians 15, too, is not salvation from eternal condemnation. Mm-hmm. That's something we already have.
Right.
It's coming. It'll be here before you know it. What am I talking about? The Grace Evangelical Society's National Conference 2024. It will take place May the 20th through the 23rd at Camp Copus, an absolutely beautiful campground in North Texas, right on the lake with lots of recreation, great food, a great place to stay, wonderful fellowship, and wonderful Free Grace Bible teaching. Information and online registration now at faithalone.org/events. Come and join us, faithalone.org/events.
And the salvation in 1 Corinthians 15, 2, is not salvation from eternal condemnation. Mm-hmm. That's something we already have.
Right.
This is an ongoing spiritual healthiness. In other words,
deliverance from those things.
In this case, I would argue it's, remember when Jesus said to the woman who touched the hem of his garment, your faith has made you well?
Mm-hmm.
But it's the Greek word sozo, saved.
Mm-hmm.
Your faith has saved you.
Healed you almost.
Healed you, yeah. I think in 1 Corinthians 15, 2, what it's saying is, by which you are spiritually healthy if you hold fast the word which I preached to you.
Right, yeah.
In other words, if they stop holding fast to his promise of the resurrection, they're no longer going to be spiritually healthy. And Toby's other part of the question, wasn't it something about how do we talk to people who talk that way?
How do we go about talking to people who hold this position?
Okay, so here's my point. Could we get to the promise of everlasting life by talking about the finished work of Christ? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And this goes back to Tristan's question from a previous show. A person can get to believing in John 3:16 by believing that Jesus died for our sins and rose bodily from the dead.
Right.
In fact, the greatest apologetic for John 3:16 is Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection.
Exactly.
It's also possible to believe in the deity, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and not believe in the promise of everlasting life. And that's the tragedy. So what I would say to Toby is if he's talking to someone who is saying, all you need to believe is in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus or the finished work, I would say, look, you can get to the promise of John 3:16, the promise of everlasting life, by talking about the finished work of Christ, but you don't end there. You don't just say that Jesus paid for all our sins, past, present, and future, and he's removed the sin barrier, John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. because it's possible to believe that Jesus has removed the sin barrier and yet not believe that by faith in him I have everlasting life. I remember one time I was at a conference and these people were trying to witness to this woman who had come out of a cult group. And they told her, look, Jesus died for all your sins, past, present, and future. And she said, yeah, I believe that, but I still don't believe that by faith in him I'm secure forever. You got to keep living the life in order to keep everlasting life. Right. Yeah. That's what she was taught in the cult.
Sure.
These people influenced her about the finished work of Christ, but she didn't yet believe in the promise of everlasting life.
In my mind, that's where John 11 comes in. When Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life, which I take as a hendiadys, mm-hmm. I am resurrection life. And then, do you believe this? In other words, he's asking, do you believe that he does give everlasting life on the basis of belief?
Right. So whoever believes this is guaranteed that he's never going to die spiritually.
Right.
And by the way, I don't take the hendiadys view. I take the view in John 11:25-26, that when he says, I am the resurrection and life, he then explains in the next two parts those two halves. I am the resurrection. He who believes in me, though he may die physically, yet he will live physically.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people take that spiritually, and if you take that view, then your hendiadys works. But I think he's saying, I am the resurrection, so he who believes in me, though he may die physically, yet he will live physically. And then as the life, he says, he who lives and believes in me will never die. That's everlasting life. I am everlasting life. That's what he gives.
Okay.
And by the way, the promise of resurrection isn't just the promise that we're going to be raised, because everybody's going to be raised, even unbelievers. This is the promise of resurrection into the kingdom.
Into the kingdom,
with
right.
a glorified body.
Exactly.
So it's another statement of eternal security.
Sure.
So coming back to Toby's question, if you're talking with someone who preaches the finished work of Christ, just make sure they include the promise of life. If you just talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and don't talk about the promise of everlasting life, you'll end up with a lot of people who merge views. They will end up thinking somehow, yes, Jesus paid for all my sins, past, present, and future. And so if I'm faithful and good and persevere, then I'm going to keep my salvation.
Mm-hmm.
They've taken something from their Arminian background
right.
and now incorporated it with this finished work of Christ.
Right.
It's important to get people to look at the Scriptures. And I would particularly encourage the Gospel of John. That's where the Lord Jesus tells us what a person must do to have everlasting life.
Exactly right.
All right. Well, remember to keep
grace
in
focus.
Amen.
We invite you to check out our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday 5-minute YouTube videos at YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. You will love the content and learn a lot. Maybe you've got a question or comment or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Please make sure your question is as succinct and clear as possible. That would be a great big help. On the next episode, answering some questions about the free grace position. Please join us for that. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.